This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Well, as Diane Houston and I get ready to have our annual, I guess not annual, but our monthly meeting about the history of Kansas City, one can't help but talk about what's going on currently in Kansas City. And of course, that's Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce. And Diane, you've been around Kansas City your entire life. I've been around Kansas City essentially since 1995. And we've seen pockets of renaissances and change in Kansas City, but nothing like we're experiencing right now. And a lot of it's related to sports. Obviously, Taylor Swift is somewhat related to sports. She's dating a member of the Kansas City Chiefs. But I think right now we are at the cusp of what could be the beginning of maybe the greatest era in the history of Kansas City, with everything that's going on and everything that continues to be possibly added on to our plate. I mean, this has to be considered the Great Renaissance, doesn't it?
It is. Definitely up there in the change for the better category. I just think there's so many cool things that are happening in Kansas City that it couldn't be probably a better time, because I think we also have lost a little bit of, over the years, we've definitely lost a little bit of the glory of the past. And really being able to showcase the city, whether it's this year, just with the NFL draft, and you know, the Royals, you got Super Bowl, you're on national TV showing Union Station lit up in colors. There's just so many incredible things sports related, which is probably the best way, in my opinion, that people get exposed to different cities across the nation. Unlike anything else, it's really sports, right? Because that's when people have the opportunity. I want to go to Denver because I want to see, you know, a game, Chiefs versus the Broncos. So you go to Denver for the game and then you visit the town. And so I think with this whole Taylor Swift phenomenon that's happening, which has been happening, the Swifties have been going on for a while, but connecting that to one of our most endearing players that we have right now, and one of the best players that will be in Chiefs history, you know, is just a really cool time, especially with all the different changes that are happening in the city, whether it's, you know, the moving of the ballpark, which I know, I don't even know if I wanted to discuss that, but the moving of the ballpark, the idea of development in downtown, think about Power and Light. We've talked about how trashy Kansas City's downtown used to be. And then looking at the streetcars back, and it's cool, you know, like, we have free bus transportation in Kansas City. That does not happen in most cities. Like, there's so many cool things that are connecting us to different portions of the city that I think really is a revitalization and a renaissance that we haven't seen in I'm going to say over 100 years.
Yeah.
That's my piece.
I think you're kind of right about that. I mean, I was thinking about this today when I was out with the dog, taking her for a walk, and I'm thinking about, like, what was the last time we really had one of these true renaissances in Kansas City? And I feel like you probably have to go back to like the jazz age, like when jazz was kind of first starting here and the Negro Leagues baseball, you know, organization was founded here in Kansas City back in the 1920s. I mean, that is literally 100 years ago when all kinds of different things, unique things were happening right here in Kansas City. And here we are 100 years later, and we're starting to see the renaissance yet again. And you know, I was having a conversation with somebody a few months ago, and it was somebody who recently moved to Kansas City. And she said to me, she goes, you know, everything I keep hearing about Kansas City is like the next Nashville, the next Nashville, the next Nashville. Then Taylor Swift arrives into Kansas City, and all of a sudden you're thinking to yourself, oh, my God, this could be the next Nashville. And what Nashville has done has been nothing short of brilliant over the last 20 years with the way that they've developed everything.
You're right.
And Kansas City right now, I mean, for lack of a better term, Diane, we're on a heat right now with everything that's going on here in Kansas City. And it feels like Taylor Swift and this Travis Kelce relationship and this national attention that we're getting now is kind of the bow on everything that's been going on maybe for the last 20 years or so.
Yeah. And we talked about this, you and I, you know, obviously off the air. I sent you an article from the LA Times, and the title of the article really caught my eye. And I gave a presentation to a group of guys, the Romeos, and Bob's like an honorary Romeo, which is retired old men eating out. So congratulations, Bob. You've met your audience.
I can't wait.
And I bet they're going to love that they just got a shout out. But one of the things I brought up was this LA Times article that I saw, and it was, the title was, "My son told me Kansas City was on the rise. Taylor Swift just proved him right." The Los Angeles Times, a woman's son, she's a writer for the Times, moved voluntarily to Kansas City. And he kept telling her, this is the next big city. And she didn't believe him. And he didn't, he moved here not because of a job. He moved here because he thought Kansas City was cool. And I mean, I know that people are going to be like, what? But it is. It's cool. It's way cooler than people give us credit for. And anyway, he moved here, and he kept telling her, this is the next big city. And it was this Taylor Swift thing that convinced her that she thinks he's right. And we got compared to Austin in the article. And I think you're right, too, about Nashville, because I think about my friends, you know, my girlfriends that especially married, you know, you take a girls trip or whatever. And one of the most common places these days that a girls trip they go is Nashville. It's close. Mm-hmm. It's not that far. And there's a music scene. We have that here. There's a cool downtown. We now have that here. Couldn't have said that, you know, 15 years ago. And so I think that we're on the right track. And like you mentioned, the jazz era, that was a big thing. And there were other renaissances or real changes that happened even before that, that led to, you know, the jazz era and to, of course, you know, corruption in Kansas City and things like that, that led to us being the booze capital of the Midwest, too.
Yeah,
which I mean, I gladly embrace that. So, I mean, I'm cool with that.
But I also think, you know, one of the renaissances, though, that was a negative thing is something that we're emerging out of. And that's everybody, you know, running to the suburbs, you know. And I think, you know, you look at that jazz era and how exciting that was. And that put Kansas City on the map. And then, you know, as the years go by, like they do, things change and highways are built and everybody moves out to the suburbs. And that really left Kansas City for many years in disrepair. And the first time I came to Kansas City was, I want to say, right before the baseball strike in 1994, or the day of the baseball strike in 1994. So it was like August or whatever it was, right? And I was looking at colleges, and I remember looking at KU. And my father and I came out, and we drove through downtown Kansas City, and we went, whoa. And for those who don't know, yikes. I grew up right outside of New York City. It's like, you know, the city, you just assume everywhere is a big city, right? And we drove through downtown Kansas City, and I remember saying, wow, there's really nothing here. And people are like, oh, no.
And you were right.
Yeah, right. And I was back in 1994. Mm-hmm. I was right. And people said, yeah, nobody goes downtown. There's nothing to do down there. It's a dead area of town. And it remained that way until Kay Barnes had the foresight vision to say, you know what, Cordish, hey, come on over here. Help us revitalize downtown. Let's put this arena in and let's really rebuild this downtown. And I maintain to this day, without Kay Barnes, we're not sitting here talking about Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce.
I agree with you. And we talked about that when you made me do my monument. Remember when you made me do my Washington Monument? Or what was that? It was
Mount Rushmore of people
in Kansas City. And I said, you have to give me a bonus person. And my bonus person was Kay Barnes. And that's why. I mean, I remember more people complaining about Kay Barnes back in those days than anything. And I bet it's kind of like she's laughing right now because she was right about it all. I mean, she was right about at least the development of Kansas City. And, you know, we really have a lot to I don't think that a lot of people could see the potential and investment in downtown Kansas City, because like you said, one of the things that people don't realize about Kansas City and the development, part of the reason our population went up so high, you know, if you look back in time, is because we kept growing out. And so our metro area, we talk about this too, is the metro area is huge. And so, you know, Westport used to be its own town, and then it got absorbed into Kansas City in 1891, I believe. And when we look at the population of Kansas City back in those early days, people there, all of your shopping for clothes was downtown. I mean, you went to Petticoat Lane. That's where you went. There were no suburbs. There was no plaza. There was no shopping area. There was no such thing as a shopping center, you know, until, of course, J.C. Nichols, which is going to be in that 20s era, which is the era you're talking about. But that growth of Kansas City and that pushing out of the downtown area really occurred. And after there was a real estate bust in 1893, Kansas City's population in 1880, 82,825. Okay. 1890, 160,510.
Well, like doubled in like 10 years. Yeah.
And it all, of course, spawned from the railroads coming to Kansas City and all of that. And when you look at the population of Kansas City, and there were 15 railroads in 1887 running into Kansas City at the time, 15 different railroads. And the population at that point hit 100,000. And so people were building houses on the Northeast, and those beautiful houses and the mansions that are mostly gone today. But they thought the city was moving east. But what happened was the development of the suburbs to the south. And this is the kind of stuff, and the innovation of people like J.C. Nichols that develops, you know, these shopping centers outside of the city, if you will, or the downtown, that killed downtown. I mean, that's what killed it. And we have the skyline that, of course, now is like a quintessential, like I have t-shirts with the skyline on it. I have a painting in my bathroom my friend Jamie made. She's amazingly talented, of the skyline of Kansas City. You know, Mike Savage and other artists have made a lot of money off of painting Kansas City's skyline. That was not the case 15 years ago, I assure you. Right. And so I think we're developing into something that is really special. And it does, I will say, the investment, and I am not a sports broadcaster, Bob, you know this. I love sports, but I don't want your job. So, but when you look at what has happened in the last, 10 years in our sports, or 8 years even in our sports history, like, holy Moses, it is incredible. And this kind of stuff, the investment that needs to go into those types of things, really is what is going to create more of a renaissance in Kansas City. I am calling it now. I think it's the same thing. Why do you think that schools invest in their sports programs?
Yeah.
It's the same idea. It seems like, oh, it's such a waste. Like, oh, why aren't they putting more money? I assure you, I want them to put money in the classrooms. But those programs build character. Those programs help put a positive light on different programs in any school district. And so the same, talking about on a larger scale, you know, we have the Chiefs going and playing in Germany. And this is worldwide now. And I have had family from Europe visit Kansas City. And of course, you know, their first trip to the United States, to Kansas City. And they're like, well, this isn't LA. This isn't New York. I'm like, yeah, it's not.
It's not.
But they loved it and they've been back. So what does that say? You know,
I mean, you're right about the sports, and you know, we can sit here and talk all day about, you know, hey, the new airport, what that's done. And, you know, every time you turn around, another light is being built downtown. I think we're at 3 with 4 maybe on the way, and a new downtown baseball stadium coming on before sooner or later. And so all that downtown stuff is fantastic. But I think you're right about sports. And in the college world, the athletic directors, as they're begging for you to give them all your money, sit there and they will tell you that athletics is the front door to the university. It's the front porch to every university. And
100%.
When you have a program like Alabama football or Kansas basketball, and people see that because they're watching it on TV, they go, hey, maybe that's a fun school to go to. And your enrollment grows. It's been proven over years that enrollment grows when a team wins a national championship, whether it be in football or men's college basketball. The enrollment grows. People want to go to a place that looks like it's a lot of fun and they have their shit together, right? And so when you win those championships, that's what people think. And Kansas City was on its way after Kay Barnes with the arena and keeping the Big 12 here, but that's really all that we had. Oh, it was cool. The Big 12 was great. Every once in a while, you get an NCAA tournament mixed in. But once Sporting KC won their championship in like 2012, I believe it was, that kickstarted everybody else. I think the Royals saw that. The Chiefs saw that. Everyone, hey, that looks like a lot of fun. And then the Royals did their thing in 14 and 15. And God's honest truth, I can tell you a number of different people in that organization that saw the Royals win that championship at Arrowhead. And they went, all right, it's time to get our stuff together and figure out a way to go out there and win a championship. Travis Kelce has said it's motivated him. Andy Reid at one point said, man, I watched the Phillies in Philadelphia win it. I've seen the Royals win it. Maybe it's me. Maybe I'm cursed. I don't know. But use that as motivation. Everybody saw that parade of a million people dressed in blue on that gorgeous November day. And then the Chiefs took off from there. And they ended up winning their first playoff game the same year the Royals won that World Series in 30 years or whatever it was for the Chiefs. And they haven't let up since. And then they drafted Patrick Mahomes. And here we sit. And the more that the Chiefs keep winning, the more that the Royals were winning, people want to come to Kansas City and people want to be part of what's going on because no fan base in the world has a good time like we do here. And people want to be a part of that. And if Sporting KC doesn't win a championship 10 years ago or however long it's been now, and the Royals don't do their thing and the Chiefs don't do their thing, I don't think we're sitting here talking about this next renaissance that's on the way and we're currently in right now in Kansas City. And sports is just such a big part of that.
And, you know, stars have to align. And there's a couple things that I think of when of what you just said, especially about, you know, getting Mahomes and then having Andy Reid here for now for him a substantial amount of time. For
yeah, we're in year 11 moved, right now.
Yeah, moved organizations. And I just recently actually met Tammy Reid and she was telling me, you know, how many states she'd lived in. I mean, you know, you have to be mobile when you're a coach's wife, too. So in any case, I mean, when you think about it's not just about the sports, though, because you have to have the right type of players that are willing to invest in the community that give more exposure to the community. So and a perfect example of that is Patrick Mahomes. And like we talked early on in our podcast when I was back in the Paseo shenanigans that when that was going on, one of the biggest things we brought up was how sad it was that the city had not invested in our park, Martin Luther King, the MLK Park, which is right by the Nelson, right off of Cleaver. It's a great park that was just sitting there like with these tennis courts, which did not support the community around it. Like nobody wanted to play tennis, you know? In any case, we brought up somebody has to invest in this park. And right after the citywide vote happened, and then they were choosing a new name. This is during the pandemic, choosing a new name for Martin Luther King Boulevard, which is now running right by this old park. Patrick Mahomes gave $1 million to that park. And the reason I bring that up is now it says MLK. It is now, I've seen it on some of the broadcasts. They actually show it and they're not like, look at this park Patrick Mahomes built, but it's now becoming kind of its own little landmark. And it takes people like Patrick Mahomes that aren't just willing, and of course, investing in the Royals and everything else, that aren't just willing to be a name that is on a Subway commercial, in which I cannot stand that commercial, but... So, I mean, it's funny when you got, you know, Henny in the back. I get that. That one's funny. But I'm talking about that whole, like, you know, them proffered. I'm like, my English teacher is, I'm dying inside with that commercial. But anyway, I'm not talking about the national exposure of a person's face. I'm talking about him actually investing in something. He has proven it looks like he's here for the long haul. And he is going to be part of that renaissance and past throwing a football inside of Arrowhead. I'm just saying it takes more than just the sports, you know, attitude. It really takes people that are willing to put in and even Kelce, and he invests a lot of time down at which one is it? And I should know this off the top of my head. I'm failing.
Operation Breakthrough.
Thank you. Which I should know. Operation Breakthrough. But he has invested a ton of time in that. And the more that kind of stuff happens, Taylor Swift is one of those people that knows her power of her, you know, her fan base. And, you know, this has got to be new for him, too, because this is a little bigger than, you know, the Chiefs and a couple commercials with Patrick Mahomes, you know, advertising out, you know, insurance or whatever. Yeah,
and I think you're right about that, though. Like we've had decent athletes over the years, right? Nothing like we're watching right now. I mean, maybe back in the Len Dawson era and the early George Brett era and whatnot. But we've really never had athletes like Mahomes and Kelce that are investing in the community, right? Like we just don't see that. And you don't see that in a lot of places where athletes truly invest in the city and make it theirs. I mean, you know, when Mahomes is done, he's going to be living out at Loch Lloyd. He's going to be a guy that stays here. Maybe Travis Kelce ends up being the same way. You know, him and Taylor look at real estate and they go, well, we can buy 7 houses in Kansas City as opposed to, you know, a 1-bedroom place in New York. And so maybe they end up staying here in Kansas City.
They can winter wherever they want anyway.
Right, exactly. Right. Who cares, right? As long as they still have that connection, you know, to Kansas City. And they're a big part of the reason, again, the athletes, of why this city continues to grow. I mean, you mentioned the NFL draft when we started. That's going to pale in comparison to the World Cup that's coming here, you know. I mean, we got the largest sporting event in the world in less than 4 years that's going to be taking place right here in Kansas City. We never get that without, you know, Kathy Nelson and what she's done for Kansas City. I mean, she's as much a part as the Renaissance right now of Kansas City as anybody. She's running two companies, the Sports Commission and Visit KC. And, you know, they're always constantly looking for the next bigger and better event. It was announced just recently, the Big 12, who has a new commissioner. Probably about a year ago, people thought, boy, he's a New York guy. He's going to want to move this tournament. They want to sign an 8-year extension. Their lease isn't even up, you know, here in Kansas City. And then we're going to hear the announcement sooner rather than later about them finally announcing the downtown East Village is where the new ballpark's going. And that's going to tie all of downtown together. And then all of a sudden, downtown's done. The park's going over the highway. Like, the airport's up to date. It is a perfect time right now in Kansas City to say, okay, we've done all this. Now, how do we take it to the next level? And I don't really know what the answer to that question is, because it seems like everything we need is getting done.
I think that it takes a lot in looking back in our history, too. And you talked about the 20s being a big, you know, portion of our history and having a renaissance. And that was like a musical renaissance and that is still referenced. And really in Kansas City, the real renaissance, we talk about that population influx in 1880, you know, is a great example and all of that. But I really find it interesting that in when we like Kansas City grew really because of the railroads coming here, which was mentioned already, but the Hannibal Bridge being built in 1869, that was built with by capital from East Coast investors, not from people from Kansas City, because Kansas City was a big small town. And I think that's why when you're talking about investment, because we need people who believe in us and we have such a good spirit and we're such a good people. We're just good people, especially if you visit other cities, you realize we're like real nice here, you know. We need more people that believe in us, that can invest in our community. We have capital. We have capitalists in Kansas City now, but our history really is tied to people from Massachusetts, well, Boston. And they're the ones that invested in the railroads in Kansas City, like, because nobody here had enough money. It was too small at the time. And it's like, we're on that cusp, right? Where people are going to be looking back in time and hopefully more people will believe that we are a place, because we need more headquarters here. We need more, you know, long-term investment on that side too, to fill up our cup. We're already there, I think. And, you know, I know that one of the cool quotes that, you know, one of our founders of Kansas City is John McCoy. And he was talking about real estate investment. We've talked about McCoy. We've done an episode on him. He talked about real estate, you know, investment, and how the ones that really got shafted were the ones that actually tried to keep building, the ones that lived and kept building. And they sold early because they were trying to get people to build and draw people to Kansas City. And the people that really made the millionaires were the ones that held onto the land and waited till it was worth a lot of money. And whether that's right or wrong, he was like, I think he felt the shaft on that one, is all I'm saying, because he was never a millionaire, but he was brilliant. And one of the things he said, you know, he watched Kansas City grow from a population of zero to a population, he was alive until 1889, so he got to see Kansas City hit 100,000 people. And in one of those investments, some of the things that that John McCoy saw in his lifetime, and I hope one day you and I are old in a nursing home.
I don't want to be in a nursing home. I'm out on that business. Just put a pillow over me.
We're going to be in a private, gated retirement community.
Okay, I'm in on that.
Okay. You're going to have Four Hands Brewing, all beers and alcohol for me.
Okay.
Because we're going to be neighbors.
All right.
And we're going to be old and gray and looking back at this time and going, look at what we saw, right? Because just like John McCoy said in 1880, this dude had been around since the founding of Kansas City. He said, well, we may now, I suppose, safely predict that Kansas City will become a great city.
It looks like John McCoy was right. Kansas City grew into an amazing city and has so much more room for growth. I can't wait to see what the next 10 years holds for our fabulous, fabulous town.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.